Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've got a great show planned today. Later, we'll hear a new way to think about the constant stream of decisions we have to make to navigate life in a pandemic. Economist Emily Oster will help us come up with a framework for better evaluating our risks. Then singer-songwriter John Prine was recently named the Honorary Poet Laureate of Illinois. 3 months after his death from complications related to COVID-19, we'll speak with one of his biographers about how his life in Illinois inspired his songwriting. But first, there's been a significant amount of pushback on some of the government-ordered stay-at-home rules related to the COVID-19 pandemic. They've been blamed for tanking the economy. But are those orders really to blame, or would the economy have been hit hard by the virus anyway? Economist Chad Severson set out to answer those questions in a paper he co-authored with his colleague Austin Goolsbee. Severson is the Eli B. and Harriet B. Williams Professor of Economics at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business, and he joins us now. Chad, welcome to the 21st.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So let's start with a big picture question you're trying to answer. As I framed it a moment ago, what sank the economy, right? Government stay-at-home orders or fear among people? First, why do you think this is an important question to try and answer?
Well, it's got clear policy implications. You know, people are talking a lot about the trade-off between, you know, economic activity and addressing the pandemic. And, you know, the size of that trade-off depends in great part on how much actions that governments take, you know, stay-at-home orders and the like, how much those affect economic activity. So measuring those effects is an important part of understanding the trade-offs involved in trying to figure out what the right thing to do is.
Yeah, and I think I've heard this framed as you can't solve the economy without solving the virus in terms of the problems that we're facing. So how did you set out to answer this question? I'm picturing in the old days, you have a team of research assistants that have those little clicker counter things that you hold in your hand, but technology makes this kind of study easier now, right?
That's right. So we use data from a group called SafeGraph, and what they do is they use people's cell phones and the GPS tracking function on those phones to count how many folks are walking into each store in their data set over the course of a week. Now, it's not for people worried about privacy concerns. You're not tracking an individual over time. You're just seeing an account of the anonymous number of folks walking into a particular address again over the course of a week. So it's as if we had a giant team of researchers sitting there with a clicker at the door. It's just the technology lets us do it a lot easier. So in total, we've got about 2.3 million businesses we're able to track. And so every week we get a count of the folks walking through the door at each of these businesses. And we follow that over time. And then we correlate that, of course, with these stay-at-home orders and other things that are affecting people's willingness to go out and shop. And that's how we measure the effects we're interested in.
That's remarkable. So the drum store where I get new drumsticks and drum heads sometimes down the street, you can say, okay, in January you had X number of visitors, but in April that was way down to Y, or I mean, presumably that business had been closed by the stay-at-home orders by that point. But even before those stay-at-home orders, you could see that the number of visitors had declined at a particular shop.
That's exactly right. So that's what we're tracking over time. And in fact, you just mentioned one of the things that kind of gets to our conclusion, which is in the end, these stay-at-home orders mattered, but they didn't matter that much. What mostly was going on was people just didn't want to go out and go to stores for fear of contracting COVID. And one of the pieces of evidence along those lines is exactly what you said, is that even before the stay-at-home orders were in place and the shutdown orders were in place, traffic was going down substantially. And so people were staying away even when it was perfectly legal for them to go out and shop. They were reluctant to do that.
You know, and interestingly, I think a few Illinois locations play a role in your analysis, or at least you cite them as, you know, potential examples. Can you talk about why the Quad Cities were important to this sort of natural experiment?
Yeah, so that's a good way to frame what we're doing. So If you just look at the issue from a 30,000 foot level, what you would see is, as we've been talking about, a big decline in traffic at stores, and simultaneous, or not necessarily simultaneous, but alongside that were the imposition of these stay-at-home and shutdown orders. And you might say, okay, well, look, these things are going together. Obviously, the shutdown orders are having a big effect on commerce. But that's not necessarily the right way to think about it, because the disease itself might be driving both those things. One, people being afraid of being infected are staying at home voluntarily, even if no government body is telling them they have to. And two, the government bodies are deciding, well, you know, it's getting risky out there with this pandemic. We better tell people to stay at home. So it could be that the pandemic's actually driving both things rather than the stay-at-home orders driving the decline in traffic. The issue is, how do you separate those? And this is where the Quad Cities example comes into play. So what we do is we look at similar stores in the same metro area in the same week, but where one part of the metro area is under some sort of shutdown order and the other part is not. So for example, the Quad Cities, Iowa never imposed a shelter in place order. Okay, so what that means is the Rock Island and side of the Quad Cities, Rock Island, Moline, they're going to have stores that are facing a shutdown order on that side, whereas the Davenport, Bettendorf side will not. So what we can do is we compare two similar stores, for example, sporting goods stores on either side of the river in the same week, and then look to see whether there's any differential drop in traffic. That differential should be the effect of the stay-at-home order that Illinois had imposed that Iowa didn't. If, on the other hand, we see a big decline in traffic on both sides, well, that must be because people are staying at home for other reasons than the stay-at-home orders per se, because those aren't in effect in Iowa. And what we find is, multiplied over thousands of times across similar examples, I'm just using the Quad Cities as an example, but we've got data from all over the country, is that about 90% of the total decline in foot traffic in businesses, the 2.3 million businesses in our data, 90% of that came from people, not from the stay-at-home orders per se, but rather just people staying at home of their own volition. In other words, that sporting goods store in Davenport saw a 90% or a large decline in business, almost as large as the one in, say, Rock Island. It was right. A little bigger in Rock Island, but not that big. And that's how we know the effects of the stay-at-home orders per se, and why we can measure them and know that they're small.
Interesting. So the sort of different orders in different communities, and yet you still see the same sort of behavior shifts. Unfortunately, we've only got about less than a minute left, so maybe even in just a few sentences, I wonder if you have any advice for policymakers as a result of this work, you know, looking to the future.
Well, my co-author Austin's good at boiling things down to pithy statements, and what he says is right. He says the virus is the boss. All right? If what's really driving people's behavior and the decline in economic activity is their fear of being infected, and we have some other evidence in the paper that shows that's it. For example, deaths in the county where the business are explain right. A lot of the decline in foot traffic. If that's the case, then if you want the economy to recover, you have to address the pandemic. It isn't just a matter of saying, okay, everyone can leave now. We're not going to make you stay at home. And
sure.
That's like turning on a spigot, next activity is going to return to normal. You have to make people feel safe about going out again if you're going to see an increase in activity.
All right. Bottom line, fix the virus, then the economy will follow. Chad Severson is a professor of economics at the University of Chicago Booth School of Business. Thanks so much for being with us today.
You're welcome.